Gene from Napoli. How you doing, Gene?
Good.
Back.
Very.
And again, we're on our exclusive Serie A broadcast. I think we're stepping on some people's toes here, but who cares? Because, like, unlike other podcasts or internet radio shows, we actually have someone on the ground, actually in and around Napoli. I know you're in Nola, which is hop, skip, and a jump.
I was at the stadium this morning.
You were? That's awesome.
Yes, I was. I went to pick up my credentials.
Wonderful. I think that's what we need to. We need an insider's view on, you know, because once you get your toe wet on inside one of the stadiums and one of the training sites and all that, I think you have an inroad to talk about any of them. I think so. I think we're lucky to have you, Gene. Let's get started. I think you had something special that you wanted to start with, right?
Yeah, I actually, believe it or not, I'm going to go just a little bit north of here and start with Roma.
Well, I think that's absolutely key to where we need to start. Go ahead.
And the reason why I'm starting with Roma is because, and again, let me preface this. Are you still there, Mondo?
No, I'm here.
No, because it said something about the connection. So I was wondering about. All right. Here's what I needed to say about Roma. And let me preface this by saying I'm not a Roma fan, but if I was, I'd be very angry right now.
Yeah, I've got some friends who are huge Roma fans, and I do tend to support Roma in Italy anyway myself. So
yeah, I'm just speaking in general now.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, if I'm a Roma fan, I would be very, very angry right now because the American ownership hasn't done any good for this team. You would have thought that they would have.
Yeah,
but they have. And why
they came in 3 years? What, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Now? Yeah. And with a lot of big plans and a lot of splashes of big money.
It's fine to say that you're going to do this, and then, you know what? Yeah. And that's the frustrating part to me if I'm a Roma fan, is that they started on the right road. I mean, they bought in a lot of good young talent.
Yeah.
And that was all Luis Enrique's doing, okay? Luis Enrique would have been fine if they would have let him stay and let him do what he had to do. So would Vincenzo Montella have been fine.
Oh, if they had kept Vincenzo Montella, just think where what he's done, at Fiorentina?
Is that what he's done?
Yeah, just think if they had kept him and not even gone out and tried to do this Spanish.
Like I said, I'm not about to be critical of Luis Enrique, but you gave the man 1 year, then you bought in Andrea Zoli, then you get rid of Andrea Zoli because he loses a Coppa Italia final, and you bring in Garcia, which is bad enough because if you don't have some sort of continuance behind the bench, that's bad enough. But now they've compounded their problem by not only, first of all, they sold Marquinhos, who's one of the best young defenders in the world.
Yeah.
Okay? They took him and they sold him to PSG. Then they turn around and they sell Osvaldo to Southampton.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I don't understand why he went to a team of that level in the Premier League when there's a lot of other teams that are better off than Southampton or Liverpool. Okay, and now just yesterday they turn around and they sell Lamela to Tottenham.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm not too clear on. I mean, I understand that they want to sell, you know, that there are other reasons other than money. Or, you know.
I understand.
I don't like the idea that they sold Osvaldo, but I know that he and Lamela in particular had problems over the years, right?
Okay, but if you're going to get rid of You don't need to get rid of the other one. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And if you're going to get rid of one, then why are you getting rid of the younger and more talented one? Look, I know Osvaldo really well because I saw him. I saw him at Espanol when he went there from what, Fiorentina. So I saw him for 2 years there. And, myself. So I absolutely. Yeah,
he's going to get rid of him. Then why do you need to get rid of him else?
No, you don't. You get rid of one or you get rid of the other. And I know that a lot of it has to do with how they reacted. A lot of it, this whole thing, has to do with how they react to Francesco Totti, what he wants.
Regardless, Fernando, Totti is what he is.
Just like, you know, people complain about Totti and about a lot of. In fact, I was going to write an article for the site this week about teams that have or that are going through like what's happening with Iker Casillas at Real Madrid. Exactly. There are a lot of teams. People just think it's a few, but there are a lot of teams in a lot of clubs in world football that have like these iconic players. I mean, think of Maldini, right? Think of Maldini at Milan, right?
Correct.
Think of Del Piero at Juventus. A lot of it. So that's not an excuse that's the reason why these clubs are losing because they have an iconic captain. I'm sorry, but if I'm a club, a major club, right, and I want to win big trophies, I want someone on the field and in the dressing room. I want someone like that to gather the troops, you know? I want an on the field leader that's going to gather the troops, and I don't want just somebody looking at the sideline. I don't want someone looking at the sideline and going, Mourinho, what do we do? What do we do? No, absolutely not. So that's not
the captain on the field that can be my second coach.
Yeah, exactly. You want one like that, don't you? You know,
absolutely.
You want a Maradona at Napoli, don't you?
With today's Napoli, the perfect person would be Mascherano, but we won't get to that yet.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that happen, because he needs to be. You know, you need to have. You know, Napoli needs to have an iconic Argentinian. You know,
right.
Guy. And as much as I love Higuain, he just doesn't have that kind of personality. He's not outgoing enough. He's a great player.
Yeah, I know.
He's not that kind of.
Peter would be Mascherano, because Mascherano would take control of this team and say, look, guys, I've done this before. This is the way this is done.
Yeah.
So just follow my lead. He'll do what Diego did. He'll say, follow my lead, and I'll take you to the promised land, so to speak. My whole bother this week was Roma, because I don't see how they could have had such a perfect project going on where they were building with the young talent and bought in Marquinhos and bought Lamella and had Osvaldo and Art. The only one that's really still left of the young group is Destro. I'm afraid he's going to be the next one to go.
Yeah, and I don't see them actually going out. And I mean, it's too late now because most of the really fine young talent. It's one thing to sell good young talent. But then, if you've got money, then you're going to have to buy young talent and continue working on. Yeah.
Somebody.
But I don't see them going out. And
who you mean at the point? What you've done is you.
Hold on, Gene.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. The audio just picked up again.
Yeah. So. Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No.
No. You there?
Yeah. No. I'm still there. Yeah. Tell me who they're in for now. You know, if they're selling, then Roma fans should think.
And this is why I said this is why I'm saying If I were any Roma fan today, I wouldn't give that American in ownership 1 euro of my money.
I read that, and I completely agree with you.
I say that is because, yeah, they're selling. Yeah, they're bringing in a lot of money. But they have no idea who to go out and get to replace these people. They don't have a plan. Like Napoli, for instance, when they sold Cavani, they said, we're going to have to get somebody that's going to replace him. When they sold Cavani,
Napoli is in the position where they're at, not just because Rafa Benitez took over and, okay, you and I talked about this, 5 years ago?
Correct.
Was it 5 years ago when the new ownership took over?
Right. No, it's 10 years actually, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that new ownership takes over, and they had a plan. They had a plan.
And to see the fruits of Napoli's plan, this will be Darius's 10th year as president and owner, et cetera, of Napoli. And you can see the fruits of all the years he's put in, starting from the third division. Back when it was called Serie C, it's not called Lega Pro. And then he went up to Serie B, and then they finally got to Serie A. Now in the 7 years, this will be their seventh consecutive season in Serie A.
Every year they've been making more and more inroads. They've bought they bought Cavani, and then they bought Betsy, and they started... they sold those guys, right? Yes, they sold them, but they invested that money that they got either back in the system or back in the squad.
Right. That's where the idea comes from. For instance, I'll give you the two examples, okay? You buy Lavezzi for $5 million when they bought him from, and by the way, it was San Lorenzo was Lavezzi's team. Remember last week when we find him? Figure out what team it was that he came from. That's the
Pope's San favorite. Lorenzo. That's Viggo Mortensen's the famous actor. That's his club. That's the club that he supports.
And that's the club that the Pope backs, and that's the club that Lavezzi came from. I couldn't think of it last week.
I remember. Yeah.
But in any case, when they bought Lavezzi from San Lorenzo, they bought him for €5 million. Now, last year, they turned around and they sold him for €32 million to PSG.
Yeah.
Okay, now this year with Cavani. When they bought Cavani from Palermo, they gave Zamperini €17 million. They sold him for €71 million. That's called making money, and it's called using the money that you make to make your team better, stronger. Yeah. They got $18 million for Quagliarella when they sold him to Juventus.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And Quagliarella, as great of a player as he is on that tail end, that tailspin of his career. He's not young anymore. He wasn't young when you guys got him. So he is what he is. It's a great bit of. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of talk about how some there are some ownership that are worse than others, that they know how to that they know how to run the market, that they know how to run their squad. In England you back what let's say Spurs are doing rather than Arsenal. In Spain,
it's a lot different because you've got the sheikhs. You've got the guys in Manchester. You got Mansour in Manchester City. You've got the guys in.
No, what beyond that? But because that's easy. If some sheik just lands on your club and goes, here, spend. That's easy. If you're Real Madrid or Barcelona, that's easy.
It's not even fun anymore.
It's not. The clubs that I really like to look at are the clubs that are beyond that. Yes, they have money. Yes, they're rich. Yes, they buy players and sell players. But I like to watch, like for instance, Sevilla or Villarreal in Spain. I love to watch what Napoli's doing. Or Udinese, what they do in Italy.
Udinese is the best youth tank in Italy.
Now they have the Watford, they have the Granada. They own
the family. Crystal Palace belongs to that family, the Porto.
Yeah, it's actually Watford, I believe, in England.
No, Watford.
Okay. Yeah, so, but, yeah, you know, I love watching these clubs, the way that they buy and sell, and they compete with the big guys, you know? Not to say that they're not rich or not big clubs anyway.
Right.
They don't have that kind of cheap external money. And in the long run, you know, look, you know, 2 years ago, everyone was talking about what's happening at that Russian club, Anzhi
Yeah. And now the Sheikh said, I'm tired of spending the money because in the 2 years I've been here,
finished
13th place. We finished in, I don't know, 7th place.
We're not spending all this money. We're not winning anything. Exactly. And with Malaga, too, you know, they want instant gratification. And they're not, you know, that just doesn't happen in football. You know, if you want to build
PSG, but look at all the money he spent. I mean, they've won what, two championships?
But you know, there's some it becomes the real money becomes how far do you go in the Champions League, and
right.
even Manchester City. Even Manchester City, you know, they spent all that money. They're not going deep into the Champions League.
City got eliminated by Napoli 2 years ago, and Napoli's
leadership. You need leadership at the top. You need good coaching, you know, which Napoli has had. They've got leadership at the top, and they've got a good squad, and they know when to buy and sell. I mean, that's all you can ask, and that's not what you're getting. And it's not what you're getting at Roma. You're just not. I don't know what, you know, they had big plans. Just, you know, to me, this seems the exact same problem. Maybe even worse, because at least at Liverpool, you know, you can see them, you know, they've hired themselves a good coach. They have a plan. They're establishing something. Maybe it's going to take them 3 or 4 years, but they're sticking to their plan. With Roma, with Roma, they have an itchy trigger finger. And
Roma is going down the right way. This is the part that if I'm a Roma fan, it would be very frustrating to me.
I'm frustrated.
They had it right. When they started the plan, they were doing it right. What happened all of a sudden to change it? What's making James Pelota all of a sudden turn around and say, look, I've got to sell these guys? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if if the direction is coming from on top, okay, with the ownership group, or because honestly, it's the same ownership group. I mean, it's not the same ownership group, but the same guy who owns Roma is business partners in a certain way with the guy that owns Liverpool. So I mean, So I mean, there's he owns a bit part in Major League Baseball too with Red Sox.
Yeah.
But you know, you're absolutely right. So you'd think that they would share, I don't know, scouting or share, you know, that they would talk and they would kind of share experiences about how to deal with. Yeah, I mean, Serie A is not exactly just like the Premier League, but you know, you're at a big club, a capital club. You need
Hey, the game is still the game. The game is still played on.
Absolutely. But you look at them and you go, how? Okay, 2 years ago they had the right plan. They had the coach. They had the young players. Lamela in Argentina. When I saw him, I thought, oh my God, this kid is going to just light it up, and Serie A. And Serie A is perfect for him. And I just, you ever think about the certain players where they're great at, you know, in a certain club, and then you leave and you go, yeah, they're not gonna. It's gonna take them a long time to.
Okay, here's it's funny that you should put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a major example of that with a player from Napoli. Okay? And that's the major example that I have with the player from Napoli is Federico Fernandez. Because when they brought Fernandez here 3 years ago now, this is going to be his third year here, Mazzarri wanted nothing to do with him. He wasn't ready to play in Serie A, this, that, and the other. Finally, yeah. Mazzarri leaves. Now Benitez is here. Benitez sees him play 3 games in the preseason and was thinking, and key word here is was thinking, that they needed to send him somewhere else. On loan because De Laurentiis would never sell. De Laurentiis does not want to sell for him. What happened was, see, and this happened on the night of the Italy-Argentina game, when Benitez was up in Cesena playing this tournament game where he had promised, or Napoli had promised that they would go up there and be part of the first, I forget what the name of the cup was, but it was named in honor of the former president of Cesena who passed away
I did read that.
And it was the same night of the Italy game. Now, I watched both games. I watched the Italy-Argentina game live, and then I recorded, I DVR'd the Napoli-Cesena game just because it was Napoli, and I knew there were a lot of young kids because all the guys were away at the national team, and I watched both games. And watching Fernandez and how he drove Giorgio Chiellini nuts that night, okay? The
right.
next morning, I went to my soccer people, and I said, and these were my words, I said, I hope to God that Benitez had the VCR going last night, because if he goes back and he watches the way Fernandez played in the four-man defense against Chiellini and the fact that he drove Chiellini nuts, he's not going to let De Laurentiis loan Fernandez anywhere. Sure enough, the next, like 2 days later, I heard Benitez saying Fernandez is going to stay. So that, yeah. to me, again, screws the professor and what he's worth. Because the professor can have an idea, but if he sees something that he might have missed or neglected to think about or neglected to look at, he'll go back and look and give the kid the second chance. Now, Fernandez, matter of fact, De Laurentiis just said it today. Fernandez is saying he's not going anywhere. We're not going to loan him. He's going to be here. He's going to play everything. So, yeah. and that's another perfect example of what you were saying about Lamela. Yeah. You know, you've got to give these kids the time to develop when they're that young.
Yeah.
Especially defensive.
Now let's look at what's rumored. What do you think of the three names that I mean? I've been coming kind of ever since I heard what they did with the sale of Osvaldo, which I kind of agreed with, you know, because I know that he didn't get along with Totti, and you know that
that's
you can
fine.
That you that's fine. You can
sell
get
one, don't after. Sell both.
No, absolutely. So
you sold Marquinhos, which there was no reason for.
Yeah, I know. Well, you don't sell. Do you remember how bad their defense was before? You know, so
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
When they had Mexis, you know, when they sold Mexis, you know, and you know, who wasn't the most disciplined of defenders anyway, right?
Now,
but
again,
at least, but he was experienced. But
now,
but
what did they do? What did they do to replace Marquinhos? They brought in Maicon. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's you know, and he's. You know, maybe 5 years ago that would have been a great signing.
5 years ago, he's
yeah.
a different player.
Yeah, 5 years ago, he was a different player. Absolutely. You know, when you have problems, you know, you know, it's his pace. You know, his pace was the most his most important feature, and there
right.
just comes a time when you just don't have it. When your pace,
because
yeah.
What so, it's called is age begins to catch up with
you. Yeah.
That's
I mean,
what that is.
Yeah, I mean, Zanetti's one thing, but you know, because Zanetti's a freak of nature, you know, he could probably come back from the ankle injury.
How many Zanettis and Totti's do you know? You don't see too many of them.
Yeah, you don't see players play into their 40s.
Right.
any right. at all. No, that just doesn't
he's
happen.
He's an excellent Pokies around that often. So they're in the league by themselves.
Bringing in Gervinho too, who was an interesting signing, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of liken him to a Liverpool player by the name of Philippe Coutinho. You probably saw him when he played. The same kind of player, I think. One of them is more of a winger, one of them is more of a midfielder, but the kind of player who tries to do too much and just mm-hmm. kind of flails around, you know, not very disciplined. And doesn't have much of a shot, doesn't score a lot of goals, doesn't offer a lot to you as a squad or like a team player. You know what I mean? So that's what I thought of when watching Gervinho over at Arsenal. So okay. they sell Osvaldo, and essentially they're going to replace him with Gervinho, which is I think it's insane that they're going to do that. Yes, you know, they're not going to get the kind of off the field stuff, but those things I think are overblown.
I absolutely 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I have a friend Jamie who's on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I know Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie talks. He's an expert. He used to write for I think. SpanishFootball.info. He was one of the guys that we talked about to a lot. And Jamie's got a lot of contacts. He lives in Spain. And he's got a lot of contacts in the community. Talk to James Horncastle, who's the guy that they have all the time on in England when they talk about England about Italy. And he wrote Jamie got us a he posted a very interesting article about Osvaldo on our Facebook page. I'm sure you read it. Just talking about it's on our page. And if you go to facebook.com / the ball is flat, all one word, you just cycle through our stuff and you'll find a really, really interesting article about Osvaldo.
I read what's on the site every day.
The links, but that go back and read that particular article. It's a very interesting article about how this guy, he's done what he's done, and he did the same sort of thing in Barcelona, you know. And I read the articles, you know. I followed Espanyol, I followed it really, really closely. You know, he was my favorite player when he was there. So you know, and he was a very interesting character, you know. And I just don't think that Roma, not the fans, certainly didn't give him the full extent, you know, of their love, but the ownership just I don't think they understood him all that well, and
here again, you know, like I said, I wonder if that has to do with the fact that they're American. I'm sorry to say it, but I think it might.
It's also that he's, you know, he's a different kind of character. He's just not, he's kind of countercultural kind of cat, you know. He's just different, you know.
I'll give you this. If someone has talent, you need to overlook character.
No, absolutely. You need to bridge the gap, too. And if you're a fan, then you need to try your best to make him feel
welcome. Let's put it this way.
Welcome.
If character flaws were a determining factor, Balotelli wouldn't be the player he is.
Yeah.
Osvaldo
is nowhere.
Diego Maradona wouldn't have been the player he was.
Yeah.
If things were determined on basis of character.
Oh, I agree.
When a player has that level, you overlook the character flaws. You put up with them.
Yeah.
It's like I used to say about Diego back when I was living here 30 years ago before I moved back to the United States and now I've moved back here. When I lived here the first time on a regular basis was during the Diego years, from 1984 to 1989 I was here.
I gotta tell you, I feel really, really jealous of if you, you know, not a lot of people got a chance.
No, but what I was going to bring up was back then.
Golden age. That's a golden age of not only Napoli, that's a golden age of Serie A. So
of Italian football, the golden age of Serie A. Because between Juventus, Napoli, Fiorentina, Milan, and we were winning Champions League, UEFA Cup.
Sampdoria came later.
Sampdoria made that final at Wembley.
Yeah.
In the Champions League that year, they lost it, but they made it anyway.
There's no league in the past 30 or 40 years that's been that competitive and that's been that good.
Well, what I was bringing up was, to get back to the character issue.
Yeah.
Maradona back then, everybody was saying, you know, he's got children, that he's been screwing around with women here in Naples, has children left, children right, doesn't want to know from him. And all I used to say to them was, why does anybody care, okay, how well or how not well or what he's doing in the middle of the week? As long as he's scoring goals and playing well on Sunday. We used to play only on Sunday. There were no Saturdays.
Sure.
The only Wednesday games were, you know, like I said, Champions League and whatever. I mean, and, you know, not to get off topic, but it's the same kind of discussion that we had, or I used to have, with people that were anti-Bill Clinton.
No.
You know, they were talking about he's got no moral value, Monica Lewinsky, this, that, and the other. Well, you know what? I voted for him to run the country. If he's doing a good job doing what he's supposed to do, I don't care what he's doing otherwise.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is okay, great. You're going to sell these players. You sell Marquinhos. You sell Osvaldo. You know, you're going to sell Lamelo. Who are you going to bring in? You know, Gervinho is not the player, not even in that circle, right? So what do you think of the? What do you think? These are the names that they're talking about. There's this kid, Christian Eriksen from Ajax. I like him, but still, I prefer Lamela, right?
Okay.
All right, there's Javier Chicharito Hernandez, who's now at Manchester United.
To me, Hernandez would be, he's a good player, but he's older than Lamela is.
Yeah.
You know, Chicharito's got to be coming up on 30.
No, he's still young. No, he's younger than that. He's in his mid 20s, I believe. But still, he's been.
He's still like 3 or 4 years older than Lamela.
And he really hasn't had any playing time at Manchester United. He's just sort of gotten lost in, you know, with. I mean, if Rooney can't get playing time at Manchester United, then, you know, then Hernandez isn't going to get any playing time at all. So he might be talented. You know, he might have been great. You know, but he not only is he going to have to get match fit again, right? Because he hasn't been, and he's not the player that he was when he was in Mexico. You know, that kind of emerging talent. But, you know, is he? I think he's the right kind of player because he's, you know, he's not good if he's outside of the box. You know, he's a fox in the box. He's the kind of player who doesn't really work well in space and, you know, kind of, but he does put anything anything that's near him inside, you know, inside goal. So it's a decent signing. I would still prefer Osvaldo. Because Osvaldo has those qualities, but he can still play in space, and he's a very good passer, which I'm not sold on Hernandez being that good of a passer. They're also talking about some older players. Now those two, I'm okay with. If they buy Eriksen and Hernandez, then those are players that are a bit younger. you know, and you want to make, you know, they're an old squad anyway. So you want to make, they're building to something, right? But no, they're talking about Samuel Eto'o.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They can get him because he's not, you know, he's leaving the Russian club. Right.
I know that.
He's not going to get paid what he was getting paid over there. So he can screw the contract.
I think that he's got one of two destinations he's going to, and that's either Chelsea back with Mourinho or back to Milan with Inter.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, that does make more sense to me. Inter, I don't know. I mean, Inter do have more money now to spend.
So here coming in 2-3 weeks, they're going to have more money.
Is he the kind of player that Mazzari likes? You know what I mean? You know the kind of player that Mazzari likes, right?
Yeah, of course. I had him here for 4 years.
you lived through it, right? You know what kind of player he likes. So I don't know. I don't know if Eto'o is the kind of player that Inter would take.
Although I have to give Mazzari credit. Mazzari said if he's available, go get him.
But yeah. No, he's a kind of player you want if you already have the pieces in place.
I think he's going to go to Chelsea.
I think he's going to go to Chelsea too. You know, because that's what Chelsea needs. They need, you know, that deadly finisher, and they're not that far away. And they need a guy who's going to give you maybe a year, maybe two, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then that's all Samuel Eto'o has. I think maybe one, maybe a good year.
Right.
And that's not what Roma needs. Roma needs to rebuild. They already have a guy who's in place, and Francesco Totti, who's got one or maybe two good years left in him. You know?
Oh yeah, no. Well,
so they don't want
to. They're saying that he wants to go play in the new stadium in Rome, which will be ready in 2017. So he might be able to get three more seasons out of it.
Well, that would be great to see if he could do that. You know, I don't know.
If would be nice to try.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. I mean, I know we've talked a little bit about Napoli. Roma, I we can just shake our heads and kind of wipe our hands and say, okay, better luck to them. You know, they still have, what is it, another week, 10 days, week, yeah, week, 8 days left in the transfer window.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it closes on the second or third.
It's on the second because the 31st is on the Saturday.
Exactly. So
and then second at 11 o'clock our time over here, which will be 11 minus 9, 2 p.m. for you on the second.
I fully expect now that the Gareth Bale signing is going to go through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going through, and you know Tottenham's already spending the money. You know,
yeah, well, I know.
They're spending it, and they're buying
Mbappe.
So that's one of the domino pieces that's falling. So now that you're starting to see some dominoes falling, you're going to see some teams enter the market. You know, Arsenal enter the market.
I have a question for you. I would like to have your opinion on it.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's why we're on.
You need to tell me whether or not that you've heard this or if you think there's any truth to the rumor.
Okay.
That Madrid was going to go after I lost my train of thought of who I was thinking about.
Oh, we can come back to it. Yeah. No. Oh, we can come back to it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it'll come back. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if they're going to buy anybody else after this Bale signing. I think if anything, they're going to sell.
Oh, now it just came back to me.
Uh huh.
Because there was and again, Spain, England. It was Luis Suarez.
Suarez.
There was a rumor going around that Real Madrid was interested in him from Liverpool.
I think that was more of a secondary. I think Gareth Bale was the only guy that they were really eyeing, or else they would not have been so desperate to sign. You know what I mean? They set such a high price. I think it did go through. And I think they might have looked at him if the Gareth Bale signing was at all like falling apart.
Yep.
Right. And see, people. You know, I got into a real argument with people over the Bale signing on the site because they kept saying no, he's not going. And I'm saying, no, for that money, you don't turn. You know, you'd be stupid to turn that kind of money down.
Absolutely.
One, that's one reason. You're stupid if you turn that money down. Two, you're already spending that money. You've bought Soldado. And they said, well, you know, and they countered, well, we bought Soldado early. We bought Soldado early. We've bought all these players early. We already had it in place. We were going to spend that money. And I said, no. Hold on. The reason why you bought Soldado early was because there was a gentleman's agreement to sell a year ago. So they already planned to sell Bale,
right.
And Real Madrid had not told them differently. So they were going to sell Bale anyway. So they bought Soldado and these guys and Lamela and so if that the negotiations had failed in any way, then yeah, they had sought Suarez as a, you know, and they probably talked to Suarez and I'm sure Suarez's agent said to, you know, I've got all these offers. It's not just Arsenal. I want to go to Arsenal, but Real Madrid. So they're trying to drum up the interest from Madrid so that Liverpool will sell Suarez. Now Suarez is not going to leave. If he leaves, he's going to leave in January probably.
Is Colin Trout going anywhere?
I thought he was. Yeah, I don't think he's. Last time I heard that was that he was going to go to Spurs. Let me get back to you on that because I have my notes. He was involved in essentially one of, you know, because Real Madrid really do not want to. They really don't want to buy Bale for 90 million euros. So they want to offset that cost. And it's really not 90. It's going to wind up being like 20 million euros a year for the next 5 years or whatever. People are going crazy about. No, it's not. It's like a mortgage. They're going to mortgage him over a certain number of years, and they're going to pay it off.
You know what?
That's what and all clubs do that.
Mm-hmm. So, but here again, you know, I think back and being of the age that I am, which is a little bit older than you, and having had the pleasure of watching Diego play every week and seeing what are paying players today. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What would Diego Maradona have been worth on today's market?
Oh my gosh. If
Barcelona's buyout clause for Lionel Messi is 250 million euros, what would Maradona have been?
I don't think anybody could have afforded him. It was, you know.
Why else? You know, and I think back. And again,
as it is, just think what it took for Barcelona to get Diego in the first place.
That's true. And then
the kind of money that was what
1984
when they sold him to Napoli.
It was 82 when he went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Just think
in 1982 money, you know, what he could have gotten in that year when he went to. I mean, he was bought essentially for a world record fee then, right?
Yeah. It was a world record. He was a world record.
Okay,
at the time.
at the time, get this, he was sold for about $8 million, okay?
Yep.
At that time, because Menotti, because Menotti wanted him.
What would he be worth on today's market? And the reason why I bring
it certainly wouldn't be 8 million euros or 10 million. No.
But besides, like I said, the reason why I bring that up is because
I think he'd be the first. I really think Diego Maradona, if he would be playing right now, he'd be the first $200 million transfer fee.
I think.
There's nobody like that. I mean, a guy like Messi is not going to get sold. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Cristiano Ronaldo was sold. You just don't sell those kinds of players. And, you know.
So you don't. Good. You get your hands on somebody like that to keep them.
And really, that's the reason why all of these mediocre players, even though they're good in some ways, right? Because talent, the kind of individual talent that makes an impact, these kind of impact players, even though they're not good when you consider, you know, when you kind of look. I mean, it's not just Maradona. What would Maradona have been worth, right? Right. What would any of those the attacking line, you know, at Arrigo Sacchi's Milan? What would they have been worth?
Oh, sure. The three Dutchmen, Boston, Rijkaard.
Exactly. What would they have been worth today? You know, the kind of individual time. You don't. I mean, it's so rare. You know, people are. Look, I love Messi. I love Ronaldo. I love these guys. Ooh. But the reason why they're so great, isn't that they're necessarily just great by themselves, but we don't have a lot of other players to compare them to. There aren't that many. You know, you look at Spain, how many really truly impact players are there? Not like when I was young or where you were younger, you know. Mm-hmm. We were watching this in the 80s, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, watching Maradona and Platini, you know, and watching Baggio, you know, there was so much talent at every team. Every club had these players, impact individual players. Now, you know, I just don't think that kind of individual brilliance is that people know how to scout that anymore. People know how to find that.
Like I said, I brought that up because you're talking about these enormous transfer fees. Oh. And I was lucky enough, being as old as I am, to have watched and living here at the time, to have watched Diego play live at the stadium every week.
That must have been something.
I think back to that and I say to myself, oh my God, if there were a player, if he were in today's market for, you know, at his prime, like he was when he was here, how much would anybody have to pay the man to go and play for? It's amazing.
It is amazing. You know, and I'm not look. I'm not the kind of person who always thinks about the past. You know, always thinking about how things were so much better back then. But really, the best players.
The point being made. The point being made is the transfer fees that are being paid today.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, by the way, Cointreau. Cointreau is still trying to. He doesn't want to play for Real Madrid anymore. I knew, and I knew that either he and Di Maria, Angel Di Maria, either he and Di Maria or both of them were going to be tried to be included in that. But look, if Levy doesn't want that, Levy wants to spend it the way that he wants, right? He doesn't want anybody else's cast-offs. So right. Everybody who's saying, you know, that like I heard a podcast this week that was saying, no, Tottenham wants cash and players. They don't want just cash. No, they don't. That's not how Levy works. If you've noticed the way that he and other chief executives, you know, who handle transfer processes work, they don't want a player. You know, you don't want somebody else's, you know, somebody else's baggage.
You don't want somebody else's baggage. You want it's like what Delarentis was saying when they were selling money. Everybody was trying to say, well, we'll give you this, and the rest of the money.
No. Delarentis said, no, just give me the cash so that I can spend it the way that
you give me the cash so I can decide who I want to come to play for my team.
Yeah. And it's not just, and those aren't decisions that are just on the field decisions, how that player is going to work. But those are also off the field decisions, right?
Absolutely.
If you've got a player like Cointreau or Di Maria, who's overpaid in terms of wages per week, right? And you're going to have to negotiate that.
Yeah.
And they're not going to want to take a pay cut to go. I mean, they're going to have to eventually. But that's somebody else's problem. Okay. So,
yeah.
So I think no. Levy's not going to take either one of them. If his coach Villas-Boas wants either of them anyway, and with all the players that they've already bought, they're not going to want Cointreau. I think that was probably just Real Madrid wanting to, you know, trying to be cheap about it. And that's really what they're not as rich or spendthrift as people make them out to be. They're actually pretty cheap. You don't get to be a rich billionaire, right? By throwing your money
at you don't. The money that Galliani gave him for, you know.
Yeah. So, well, Gene, you want to kind of finish up with Milan, Juve, and Inter all kind of in a little group.
Just real quick, I'm going to do a little recap on the Super Cup game, which, again, believe it or not, bite my tongue, I was actually rooting for Juventus, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't like Lazio. I don't like Claudio Lotito, never have, never will.
Yeah.
Juventus just demolished them. And Petkovic just sat there and he looked like he was dumbfounded. Okay, like, what happened to my team? Where are they? You know, are the guys wearing these uniforms? Are these the right guys? But I'll tell you this. I can tell you this right now. And everybody's saying, well, you remember, Lazio's been on the edge of Champions League every year for the last 3 years. Stefano Mauri not being there because he's under suspension is going to make a huge difference. Because not only was he the team captain, he's among their best players. Okay? And I like Klose. I like Miroslav Klose. But he's getting older. He's getting up there in age. And you could, and the other thing is, and I noticed this, when you stop Hernandez, okay, Lazio just doesn't move anymore. And Juventus made them look like a Serie B side. Quite honestly, Juventus made them look like a Serie B side. Now, if I'm Petkovic, I sit there and I go to myself, boy, I've got a lot of work to do. Because this team is not what I needed to do.
Those Rome teams have a lot to work on.
All credit to Juventus because they are what they are, and Paul Pogba is phenomenal. And
a lot of people don't like them.
Scored a goal and Tevez scores a goal.
Exactly.
Tevez actually scored the fourth goal. Not that it meant much. They were still within the game, but at least he scored.
I'm gonna see. Let's see what they do in their first round.
In general, against Sampdoria, they have a game tomorrow. That's the second game of the season. The first game of the season is the game in Verona between Hellas Verona and Milan.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's saying Hellas Verona and Chievo Verona because Verona is not one of those teams. One of those cities with two teams. So, you want to talk about confusing, okay?
Yeah.
Verona has two teams. Both of the teams wear the same colors. Both of them wear blue and yellow.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to tell you this? But anyway, that's what's going to be happening tomorrow night, starting with Serie A. Your first game is going to be Verona-Milan. which I'm sure that Anna will be watching on Bein Sports on Cape Delay, because I know that they don't do Serie A live in the United States anymore.
I'll be watching. I've noticed that my watching habits have changed. I'm going this year, rather than just watching everything that comes out of Spain, which I still will kind of try to do, because I need, you know, for this, for the job. But mm-hmm.
As of the beginning of this month, we got a new channel, which you guys didn't know, but it's called Fox Sports. Okay, Fox Sports finally got over here. Yeah. And all that is covering, they cover La Liga, Ligue 1, the Premier League, the Bundesliga.
Wow.
Some leagues in Brazil, and the leagues in Argentina.
Is that something new? That I mean, I know there are no more knowledgeable or rabid supporters of, I mean, really of students of the game of football of calcio in the world than Italian fans. Have you seen the access to, you know, have you had the access to other leagues, you know, like you're getting this year?
I'll tell you what, the only other time I remember since I've been here, now remember, it's over three, going on 4 years, was the first year I was here. And then Sky lost the Premier League, and they lost La Liga, and they lost the Bundesliga. So the only other league that we had, we could watch Ligue 1 on Sport Italia, which was not Sky, but it was one of the channels in the Sky package.
Right.
Now, with the coming of Fox Sports, okay, which is not the same, but unfortunately it's not the same Fox Sports as you guys see in the United States.
Right.
Which to me kind of bothers me, because for the first 3.5 years I was here, we had it.
You had it, yeah. Wow.
Okay. Which used to cover at least baseball and hockey and the NFL and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And now, as of July 31st, ESPN America decided we're not broadcasting anymore. So we've lost all American sports. The only way we can get American sports now is, like I do it, through the PlayStation or in the online sites. We can't even get ESPN Player over here, because the three countries in Europe where ESPN Player don't work are Italy, Russia, and Spain.
I'm glad this year you're kind of changing that a little bit.
But the Fox Sports over here, okay, they have what's called Fox Sports, and then there's Fox Sports Plus. But all they've been covering for this first month has been all the European leagues and the South American leagues in soccer. Now, I must admit, I haven't seen any MLS, but I'm sure that'll come soon also.
Right. Well, Gene, this looks like we're heading up on an hour here, so I think we've had some great conversation, as usual. We're probably going to have to change the recording date a little bit, because next week I go back to work, so I will not be available on like today, so we'll have to reschedule it.
Here's what we'll do. If you want to do the podcast in the evenings for you, nights, like 9 o'clock, like we used to do when we were back in L.A.?
Yeah.
That's fine by me, because all I have to do is set my alarm clock for 5:30 in the morning, and I'm fine.
Yeah, and Eileen just told me that, Gene's up till 3 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Yeah, so, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, so I've got a few days that I've got lined up where I've got time in that space, so we can...
Yeah, yeah. No.
That would be like 6 or 7 o'clock, 6 or 7 o'clock. Yeah, I definitely record our time. So yeah, we could definitely.
That'll fine. All I would have to be to, that's all I have to be told is this is what I'm, you know, we need you to be about.
That sounds
good. You tell me I want to do a podcast that begins at 9 p.m. Pacific time. Then I look at myself and I say, I set my clock for 5:30 in the morning. I'm awake by 5:30 in the morning.
That's the kind of dedication that we need for the Ball is Flat, Gene. I'm glad we have it.
We're crazy
that way. All of us are. We all have permanent jobs. We're all doing this for the love, you know.
Exactly. For the love of the game, as the baseball thing was called, which I know you're aware of because I know you're a baseball fan, even though you are a soccer fan.
Oh, no. I was born in Cuba. I haven't given that up. Yeah. I saw my first baseball game when I was 4 years old in Havana. My two uncles took me out, and they showed me what a game really, really smelled like, what it felt like.
Yeah.
I've been a sports fan since I was, since I was a kid.
I've lived and died sports ever since I was a kid.
Yeah. So we'll talk to each other, you know, Monday or Wednesday of next week. Those are my 2 days that I'm really free at that time.
And I will write. I'm going to do an article on Sunday morning about the two games tomorrow night. I'll do an article on Monday morning concerning the rest of Serie A that happens on Sunday.
That sounds great, Gene. Well, let's say our goodbyes. Thanks for joining us on The Ball is Flat. I'll see you next week.